Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And it's almost time to say Purim Sameach so we can practice. Purim Sameach. Happy Purim. I want to talk to you about a covert operation that God was working quite a few centuries ago. It has to do with Esther, who was an undercover agent of the Lord. And I want to focus tonight on the secrets to Esther's power. You know, Samson had a secret to his power. Do you remember what it was? It was his hair. But it wasn't just his hair. It was his obedience to God in keeping his vows, which included not cutting his hair. And he had power because he had made a vow to God and he kept it, and he lost his power when he failed to watch over everything that was necessary regarding his commitment to the Lord. Now, do you know this? There are only two books in the Bible that are named after women. The book of Ruth and the book of Esther. And both of these women had suffered incredible tragedy. Ruth had lost her Jewish husband, and she was a young widow. And Esther had lost her Jewish parents, so she was a young orphan. They had been both touched by sorrow, by death, and by difficulty, and both made themselves even more vulnerable when they chose to align themselves with the Jewish people. One was not born Jewish. That was Ruth. The other was born Jewish. It's easy to figure that out. It was Esther. But Esther hid her Jewishness. And in the end, both of them were instrumental in the salvation of the Jewish people. And they were used by God in such extraordinary ways that each has a book named after her that is about her life. And because this is the weekend of Purim, I want to talk about Esther and the secrets to her power. And I want to share with you six important choices that Esther made that are connected one to another. They almost come to my mind in pairs, so I'm going to speak to you about them in pairs. And I also see that the choices she made are part of a pattern, which tomorrow morning I want to talk more about when we look at how Aaron was inaugurated into his priesthood and how he took upon his shoulders the cause of Israel. And he took upon his heart the cause of Israel. And he even placed on his head, so on his mind would be the need that Israel had for God's forgiveness and God's cleansing. And we'll compare Aaron's ministry and Esther and see some similarities to both of them. But tonight I really want to focus on Esther and her choices. And here's the first choice that she made. I'm going to present these as positive statements. She said, "I will do my part." You see, the question that Esther faced is, do I actually have some specific part? Whenever you lose dear loved ones, it can seem like life is over. When she lost her parents, she might have thought her life was over, but it wasn't. She was raised by an uncle, Mordecai. And she faced this question, do I have some specific part to do? And in fact, if you read the book of Esther, you will notice Esther did not see what her part was. She did not have revelation. She did not have understanding. She did not have insight. And I don't know if you've had this. I have it quite often when I'm speaking about a subject, often people will come up to me and say, that's exactly what the Lord has been showing me. That's exactly what I have been hearing from God. And people say, that is just a confirmation. And Esther had none of that. At the beginning, she had no insight. She had no advance word herself. Who had the word of the Lord for Esther? It was Mordechai. You see, God had put Esther in this covert operation. She was queen of Persia. You know the story, I hope. If not, you'll learn it tomorrow night. But she won a beauty contest. This was her claim to fame. Not her brilliance, not her character, but her good looks. And we read that she smelled good. We know that because she spent a lot of time with those who had good perfume for her and good lotions for her. But she was actually a secret Jew in the king of Persia's palace. But for many people, had they risen to such a level, they would have said, I have fulfilled my purpose in life. I have taken a place. But you see, when you have a place that God has opened up for you, you have to ask a question: what does God want me to do in this place, from this place, that I couldn't do from any other place? Because it's not the place itself that's important. It's how God can use you. So it wasn't enough that she was queen. Mordechai, her uncle, told Esther that her part was to appeal to the king, her husband, for the protection of the Jewish people from the enemy of the Jews, who was named Haman or Haman. Very good. Thank you very much. Practice for tomorrow. Because Haman sought to destroy the Jews of Persia. Okay, that's good practice. We'll move fast. And she had to wrestle with the idea that Mordechai had given. And then she made the choice, I will do my part. Can you repeat that? I will do my part. Now, the second choice that she made is this: I will do my best. Some people take an assignment and then they say, well, I'll try. When people tell me I'll try, you know what I figure? I should find someone else. Other people say, well, I'll do what I can. And that causes me to say, maybe I asked the wrong person. You see, it's a rare person who says, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And that was actually the decision that Esther made. Whatever it costs me, even if I put my own life at risk, even if I jeopardize my high position, I'm going to do it. Esther made the choice, I'll do my best. So her first choice was, I'll do my part. Say that. I'll do my part. Her second choice was, I will do my best. You say that. I will do my best. You see how those two go together? You know, if you don't do your part, it doesn't matter if you do your best. Because God has positioned you to do something in life. Many things in life, not just one thing. And when he positions you for that, it may not be that you even have a clue what it is. Somebody else may have to tell you what it is. It may go against your nature. It may go against your desire. It may seem risky to you. But once you know what your part is and you say, I'm going to do it, then you can take the next step, which is, I'm going to do my best, not just good enough. Now, the third choice that she made is, I will be faithful. Faithful means dependable. Faithful means reliable. Faithful means you can count on me. Esther made a choice to be faithful. And you know what that meant? She was promising Mordechai that he could count on her. He'd come with this word, God wants to use you to protect all of us. And by saying yes to that assignment, she's saying, Mordechai, you can count on me. I'm going to be dependable. And it meant that all the other Jewish people could count on her. All those Jews who she had grown up with. It's not just that she was protecting the idea of the Jewish people. She was protecting those who were part of her own past and her own reality. Yeshua says everyone who wants to be his disciple should count the costs of such a decision. And Esther shows us what it actually means to count the cost. She knew her life was in danger, and even so, she decided to be faithful. Now, her fourth choice, and it goes with that last one, I will be faithful. Her fourth choice was, I will be full of faith. Say that. I will be full of faith. You see, Esther didn't trust in herself. She didn't say, you know what? I am so special. No wonder God put me in this position. She didn't say, I'm so beautiful. There is no question that the king is going to say yes to everything I ask. She didn't trust in herself. She asked for prayer, in fact. She asked others to fast and pray. You see, fasting and prayer together are a way of saying to God, I don't have enough power for my assignment. I humble myself before you. I look to you, Lord, and your power. I'm trusting you. I want to be faithful to you, Lord, but I'm counting on you. I'm not counting on me. Have you ever been in a situation where it was your duty to do something and you'd agreed to do it, but you knew you didn't have what it took? And doing your best wasn't even enough. You needed to trust God for what went beyond your best. And so you're saying, God, I am going to be full of faith. I know you can do it. I know where my hope comes from. I know where my victory comes from. You see, Esther didn't think that Haman would have the victory. She thought God would have the victory. And this is really important for some of you, because there's some of you in the room even right now, and some who will be listening by podcast, and you actually think that the enemies who have come against you are going to have the victory. You're anticipating it. You're rehearsing it. You're expecting it. You're full of faith for defeat. And God wants you to renounce that kind of faith in your enemy's powers and choose instead faith in God's power. Esther knew God would have the victory. And she didn't think that the current terrible circumstances that they were facing was the last word. She thought God has the last word. And if God moves, because I've done my part, we've done our part, we've done our best, we've been faithful and we've been full of faith, you know what? We're going to see salvation come. She believed without doubting. She made the choice to be full of faith. So, her third choice, Esther chose to be faithful. Can you say, I choose to be faithful? And it goes with this, I choose to be full of faith. I choose to be full of faith. Now, Esther's fifth choice was this, I will serve my God. In 1979, Bob Dylan recorded an album, Slow Train Coming. If you don't know, Bob Dylan is Jewish. And he wrote a song on that album that reflected his decision to follow Yeshua. And it was called Gotta Serve Somebody. And the lines that I like the most are this. You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. And he was announcing that he had decided to serve the Lord. You see, Esther faced the same choice. Who or what am I going to serve? Because she was tempted to serve her own will. Aren't we all? But she made the choice, I will serve my God. I will put myself at risk. She was a secret Jew on a covert operation that could cost her her life. And the choice to serve God lined up with all the others. Now, her sixth choice worked together with that choice to serve God. She said, I'm going to serve my people, Israel. There was a moment when Esther thought she could hide out and be safe. It was a moment of temptation. Well, I can save myself. If Haman has victory, at least I'll be alive. But you know what the price for that was? It was to make others think she wasn't a Jew. And Mordecai showed her it was a false choice. And he helped her understand that if she tried to save herself and not the Jewish people, it would cost her her own life and God would raise somebody else up to save the Jewish people. That he even warned her, you'll be found out. And he painted her this terrible picture. You know, like, don't think you're going to get away with this. And she took it to heart. She made the choice. And she said, the Jewish people are my people. Their past is my past. Their future is my future. And I'm going to serve my people Israel. She refused to distance herself. And she made a choice. I'm going to serve my people Israel. Look how these choices work together. I will serve my God. Say that. I will serve my God. And I will serve my people Israel. I will serve my people Israel. I will be faithful. I will be full of faith. I will do my part. And I will do my best. When these things are deep inside of you, God can use you for whatever your part is to serve real Jewish people. Not the concept of the Jewish people, but real Jewish people. We're entering a new season as a congregation. God wants to raise up Jewish people, make them strong, bring them into leadership, develop Jewish families in our congregation. He wants our congregation to be oriented to serving the real needs of the Jewish families in the congregation already. And how is he going to do it? He's going to raise up Ruths and Esthers who embrace the new season, and men like Mordechai and men like Moses who spoke to Aaron who speak vision to those who can rise up. Because some Jewish families are reluctant to receive help from other people. Some don't even want to draw attention to themselves. Some have needs, for instance, as intermarried couples. They wrestle with issues that are different from those families that aren't intermarried, and they need our support. They need our help. They need our encouragement. And, you know, when we say, God, we're going to serve those among us from your people, Israel, from your Jewish people, and we commit ourselves to that, God raises us all up and brings us all into a new place. And I say these things to you because tomorrow when we look in the Torah reading of how God raised up Aaron, it was with the idea that the Jewish people would have someone who always took to heart their needs and was willing to carry on his shoulder the actual responsibility, and who would do everything necessary to lift the guilt off of Israel so that no guilt, no iniquity, no sin would stop the Jewish people from coming back to God and receiving forgiveness and cleansing. God wants to do a mighty work in our midst. I am sure of it. And God is going to do something strong. We need to line our hearts up with it and understand one thing. You may not know what your part is. Chances are really good Sandy and I do. And so as God is working in the weeks and the months ahead, don't fall back and say, well, I don't know what to do. And don't fall back in that position, well, God hadn't spoken to me. God didn't speak to Esther. God spoke to Mordechai. Mordechai spoke to Esther. Esther heard him as the messenger of God. And if you can listen to this, I'm not trying to speak now under my own power. I'm trying to speak under God's power. If you can hear what I'm saying, if you have ears to hear, God's going to use you. And it may be in ways you never imagined, but Sandy and I have been imagining. So we're praying because we know God has a call on this congregation. Call on those who have joined themselves together, and together we're going to rise up and do something mighty, even beyond what we have been asking or imagining or thought was possible or thought we even had time or energy for. Let's close in prayer. Lord, stir up our hearts. Raise us up. Raise up your shepherds for the Jewish people in this congregation who will care for Jewish families, who will raise Jewish people up into leadership. Lord, we look to you because it's in your heart. And we receive this into our hearts and into our minds that we can say yes to you and we can ask, knowing that because we've been abiding with you and we have been abiding in your word, what we ask for, we will receive. Fill us up with faith Help us be faithful. Let us each do our part and do our best, because we choose to serve you and to serve our people Israel. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. We're going to close now with a short time of blessing. Anybody who's got children, gather them under your wings if you can. If they're not, bring them to. If they're not in the room, bring them to mind, and just join me in prayer. If you have sons, pray this: May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, born of an Egyptian mother and a Jewish father, but raised up to the full position in Israel. Yasimcha Elohim Ephraim v'chim Nasha. If you have daughters, pray this: May God make you as Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, even Esther and Ruth. Yasimech Elohim Kasara, Rivka, Rachel, Valea, Varut, V'chadash, Harasha, Esther. And guys, if you are here with your wives, reach over to her. This is the time where you get to kiss your wife in synagogue. And you'll see, if you have your siddur on page 8, these words from Proverbs 31. A woman of valor, who can find? She is worth far more than precious jewels. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, and he profits greatly thereby. Eshet chayil mi imtza v'rachuk, mipninim michra, betach ba'lev, ba'la v'shalal lo yachzar. Now you get to kiss her again. Okay, everybody stand, and we'll close with Aaron's blessing. You don't have to stand by yourself. Hey, Kevin, you got your wife's over here. Come together. Don't be shy now. You owe her two kisses if you can. Got to catch up on the kisses, you know. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.